Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have a special guest tonight, but we're going to kick it off with our intro. Let's get the show on the road. That's right. It's the Rad Reality Show. Hello, everyone in the chat room. We have a special guest tonight. So, hey, everyone, sit back and enjoy. Because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday. And that means it's time for...
Yes.
Everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday. Tonight, Michelle Costa won't be able to be here. I hate when she's not around on Mondays.
But anyways, I wanted to make sure you guys know the number to call in. It's 347-237-5506. So I want you guys to call in. We want to hear from you. The show's for you guys.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Manic Monday. I'm Cherry Garcia. Today is May 4th, 2015. This is the Rad Reality Show Network, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've got a great show lined up for everyone, but first I have to let you know that our usual host, Ms. Michelle Costa, will not be with us tonight. She's attending one of her annual Portuguese charity events, and of course we're going to miss her, but we will welcome her back with open arms next week, and she'll be back to tell us all about her event. As for tonight, we have a wonderful guest, the gorgeous Amy Cruz, or as some of you might know her, Queen Amy Cruz Ouellette from Big Brother Season 3. She's just had a beautiful book released called Conglomeration, A Book of Poetry. And she's also got a really juicy, dramatic novel that's due to be released this fall. So we're going to be talking to Queen Amy about all this talented writing she's been doing. And I'm also really happy to announce that at some point during tonight's show, one lucky listener is going to win a free copy of Amy's new book, Conglomeration. You'll have to be listening live to hear us tell you when to call in for the chance to win the new book. Right now, let's say a quick hi to my fellow co-host, Mr. Paul from Minnesota. Paul, it's been in the 80s here in St. Louis, and we've already got our AC on. How is it up there in Minnesota? Has it stopped snowing up there yet?
Oh, come on. Hi, Cherry. Hi, everyone. No, we certainly are quite similar to your warm weather, I guess. It's always a little bit cooler, but we had a couple days in the 80s this past, about three, four days ago. And we had warm temperatures before, but first time I put my air conditioner on was just a few days ago. So, no, the snow is done,
right.
Although there was some very hard little white pebbles that fell from the sky the other night. We had a little bit of a thunderstorm cell move through, but other than that, no, snow is done for.
All right. Let spring and summer be here for a while and enjoy it. We actually, Rich barbecued yesterday for the first time this season, and that's always like, you know, that sign that spring and summer is here when you break out the barbecue pit, you know. Summer has arrived officially, you know. So, love this time of year.
Well,
so,
I do too.
I'm really looking forward to tonight's guest.
I want to know what you meant by a juicy novel. Is this some kind of a, what do they call those, romance novels that she's doing, or?
Well, we're going to have to let.
Well, I know, but you.
Amy, tell us about that.
You piqued my interest the way you even said it. A real juicy novel. So, yeah, I am excited
dramatic,
for tonight.
Dramatic novel, yes.
I am excited for tonight and to hear about what she's been up to, and welcome her back to our show. She is a sweetheart, and she that goes back a long ways, season three.
And, you know, I was looking for some pictures to post for the show, for the promo of the show, and the girl just looks exactly like she did on season three. She's just as gorgeous and beautiful. She doesn't look like she's aged a day. I don't know how she does it, but she's just so beautiful. She's a gorgeous woman. So it must be that Florida living down there that does it or something, but she is just beautiful. And
she's transplanted down there. She was, from Memphis or something when she was on the show. So she fell in love. And
correct. And
moved down to Florida.
Right. I think it must be the love and the Florida life and living that happy life. We'll have to ask her. I don't know. But she certainly doesn't look like she's aged a day since she came off the show. So, and I believe, and hopefully we'll have time to talk to her about this as well, I believe that she's going to be going to the premiere party that's happening down there with Evil Dick. So we'll hopefully touch on that as well. And find out a little bit about that, too.
We've got,
so.
I'm trying to type. I'm not good at multitasking, but. I think she's already there.
Yes. Let's go ahead and bring her up. I look forward to this so much. Let's bring her up and have her join us. We have with us now Queen Amy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. We are so excited to have you with us tonight, Amy. I have been hearing about this book, and I'm so excited to have you with us to tell us and all of your fans about Conglomeration and also the new book that you have coming out in the fall.
I just actually went back and reread the last chapter that I wrote on the book that I have coming out in the fall, and this has been my dream my entire life. It's what I always wanted to do, and so it's amazing to me that it's all coming to fruition, and now, you know, all of these years later, it blows me away, but I'm so excited about it. And Conglomeration, I'm just I posted today on Facebook and on Twitter. I said, it's official. You can order. And the crazy thing about conglomeration is I wrote it between the ages of 15 and 19.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and when I put it together, I was 19 years old, and I wrote a letter to the reader, and it's included in the book. I wrote a letter to the reader. I titled it Conglomeration. I did everything. And then all of these years later, I'm working on the novel, and I'm talking to my publisher, Lolly, and I happened to, I don't know, it just came up in conversation that I used to write poetry. And she said, well, I'd love to see some of it. So I sent her Conglomeration, and she wrote me back, and she said, oh, my gosh, I love it. It's great. We're publishing it. And I was just, and I said, as is? And she goes, yeah, we're not changing anything. I love it. We're doing the whole thing. And so it was so much fun to go back and reread and realize how young I was at the time and, you know, the life experiences since then. So I wrote an acknowledgement letter that's in the beginning of the book that explains, you know, how old I was when I actually wrote it and how things have changed so much. And it's one of those, if I knew then what I know now things. But I poetry was a huge part of my life for so many years. And I kept all of it. I always kept poetry notebooks. And so to see it all actually, you know, come out in a book format, it's just amazing to me.
That's so amazing. You know, I used to write poetry too, and the thing is, I never kept any of mine. I wrote so many poems back when I was younger like that, but I never kept any of them. I always thought, oh, you know, this isn't worth anything. I throw it all away. And now, you know, that you're saying this, I wish I had some of mine to look back on. I mean, I don't
know. Well, I only had one copy. I had that one copy I put. I was bored at a summer job. I was 19. And I sat there and typed it out and put it in like a little binder type thing. And that was the only copy I had. And I just, for some reason, I always toted it around with me when I moved from place to place. And
that's amazing.
So it's
that's
really interesting.
Story.
It's so funny. When I wrote the acknowledgments, I was like, I wrote these poems so long ago about so many different people and so many different situations. I remember writing one in my dorm room my freshman year in college. Yeah, so it brings back a lot of memories when I go back and read them. And I actually have in the acknowledgement section of the book, much like having the entire season of Big Brother that I was on be on DVD so that I can always go back and look at that and sort of, you know, see that 3 months of my life at that time. Conglomeration is a lot like that because I can go back and read those poems and it just sort of kind of I'm looking at my life for those 5 years that I was writing those poems.
Transitions you back in time.
It does. And there's an Anna Nylick song, Just Breathe, where she says, I feel like I'm naked in front of the crowd because these words are my diary screaming out loud. It's really almost embarrassing to a point because, you know, there's so much personal information in poetry. But at the same time, in my letter to the reader that I wrote when I was 19, I put everyone will interpret this in a different way. No one will ever interpret it exactly the way that the writer interprets it. That's the beauty of poetry, is everyone sort of interprets it in their own way. So I'm excited
That's
to see everybody's
great.
Reaction once they, you know, once people start reading it.
I can't wait to read it. I'm so excited.
And my biggest project and my project that I'm also super excited about is the novel. That's a lifelong dream, and just to sit down and actually do it, it's so much fun. I'm loving it.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it is, I always wanted to write a novel, but I could never figure out exactly what format to follow. I didn't really know, I had so many different ideas, and I didn't really know how to put them all down and what kind of characters I wanted. And I just kept changing my mind about so many things. And so this, it's ultimately sort of a love story, or ultimately I guess it is a love story, but there's also mystery involved. The dynamics of relationships as far as friendships, old friendships, new friendships, how people grow and change. It's about a child star, and she was a child television star on a sitcom, and she got involved with a guy at a young age, and he was like the self-help guru who was very popular and had this huge following, and he sort of used her for her name, and she was sort of in awe of him, and then it was a big tragedy, and she sort of had to rebuild her life, and after that situation, she's just very guarded. And she goes to visit her best friend for an event, and she meets this man. And he just kind of takes her by surprise. And at the same time, she's questioning her friendship with her best friend. And she realizes that she has a lot of issues she has to overcome. But the man that she meets also has a lot of issues that he has to overcome. And it's not going to be completed in one book. There's no way. I fully intend on as soon as I finish it, because I'm 300 pages into it, and I'm looking for the ending. I know how I want to end it to go into the second one, but there's still so much that I want to put in the first one that I haven't gotten out yet. So it will definitely at least be two books.
That's great. So this is going to wind up being a series.
It will. At least two, possibly three. It just depends. But I sat down one day and just started it. And like last Sunday I sat and wrote a chapter, and I started it, and I didn't really have any idea where it was going. And it just sort of... I planned on writing it one way, and it kind of took a life of its own. And when I finished it, I was like, wow, I love that. I'm so happy that happened. And that's such a fun part of writing, is that a lot of the time you know where you're going with it. But then there are times when you just start writing something and it just kind of takes a life of its own. And that's so much fun.
That's great. I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited to read it and find out, you know, the story and where it goes. And it's just so exciting to hear you talk about it. I mean, now I want to read it.
I'm like a little kid at Christmas. And I do have a lot of my female friends are so excited. And my husband, the funniest thing, my husband is convinced that the main character in the novel is him. And I keep trying to explain to him that it's fiction and the characters are based on many different personality traits and that combine to make one character. It's not based on none of the characters are based on any one person in particular. Although when you read it, you will probably see some characters that you may say, oh, that reminds me of this person or that reminds me of that person. But there's one in particular, one of her best friends, will remind you of a former Big Brother house guest. And so, you know, you'll see people and you'll read about them and you'll be like, oh, that reminds me. But my husband's so funny because he's like, you should just name the book Dawn. And I'm like, it's not about you. And he goes, oh, yes, I know it is. That guy is based on me. I'm like, no, he's really not. He's a culmination of character traits.
Amy,
have you started saying to him, you're so vain, you probably think this is
exactly. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Paul, go ahead.
excuse me. Hey, Amy, this is Paul from Minnesota. Welcome back to the show. I was just putting myself in Don's position, and there is no way, if he's picked up on something that he thinks is him, you can talk to your blue in the face. He'll never believe you, right?
Oh, absolutely. We were at a family wedding this weekend, and he was telling his family, oh, it's all about me. And, of course, all the women are shaking their heads like, no, it's not. But, of course, all of the men completely believe, oh, yeah, she's writing about you. So, you know, once he's convinced, there's no undoing that.
And part of it, too, is he probably wants it to be about him. You know, it's kind of cool to think that somebody might actually, you know, write about you. So,
well, it is a love story. So he does, you know, look at that as, oh, you know, like he's not a big fiction reader, so he probably won't even read it. He's just going to assume that it's about us, even though it's not.
Speaking of weddings, you're 12 days away from number 9 anniversary, huh?
I am, actually. We are leaving Saturday. We're going to spend this year's anniversary. We're going to spend in Key West. We have a condo on Duval Street. And the fun part is you step out on Duval and you're in the middle of everything, but in the back it's very, very private with like this courtyard garden and pool and everything. So we're excited about that, but next year for our 10th year, I've already booked Petite St. Vincent, 113-acre private island in the Grenadines where we went on our honeymoon.
So I'm already counting down.
Okay, so are you somebody that knows what the traditional gifts are for each of the years, and do you know?
I just remember the first year was something terrible like paper, but I do not. What do you know? What the ninth year?
Okay, I actually looked it up. There's two columns. One is called traditional, and it says willow and pottery, but the modern one is leather.
Leather. Ooh. Okay.
But
that can be interesting.
next year, the 10th traditional says tin and aluminum, easy for me to say, but modern is diamond jewelry. So look out.
Ooh. No doubt.
Oh, I'm always up for that. That sounds good.
I thought you would like hearing that if you didn't already know it.
Absolutely.
You'll have to drop that hint gently.
I'll be dropping that hint. I'll start dropping that hint this year, anniversary, for next year. Well, you know, next year is diamond. Oh, yeah. He has a little time to shop
and get something perfect. You know,
he is really good about having things made. He had my engagement ring and my wedding ring. He designed it himself. Ordered the diamonds separately, had it custom made, had the engravings on the ring and all of the carvings done, and it was all his design. And it took forever to get it, but it's so special. He always does that. He always ends up finding something really unique or having something done that's a one of a kind, and I love that. I think that's really special and sweet.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I should go ahead and start dropping hints now so he'll have time.
That's incredible.
I'm curious. I as far as your writing past and why you became a writer, I think it's not uncommon for, you know, young people, you know, in those teenage years to want to express themselves, and often sometimes they do it with poetry, but to go from writing down a poem to wanting to write some kind of a novel, when did you become inspired to do that? Did you study it in college?
I did, actually. I started out as a theater major and ended up switching my major to English. But I actually started my first novel when I was 14 or 15. I believe I was 15 when I first sat down and said, I'm going to write a novel. And I remember the characters and everything. And I got pretty far into it, and I wish that I still had it. And, of course, back then, you know, everything was written by hand.
That's what I was going to say, no computer.
Yeah, so it was you know, it was before the day of the laptop, I had a binder, and I wrote this story, and it was about this girl whose dad was the general manager of a Major League Baseball team, and her relationship with one of the baseball players. And I started writing that when I was either 14 or 15, and I never finished it, but that was the first one that I started. So it's something that I've always wanted to do. I won a creative writing contest when I was in third or fourth grade. We were supposed to write a story for a class paper about when we were born. And I wrote my story about how I remember when I moved the piece of cabbage away from my face, and I wrote the story as though I was a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh, how cute.
And so that was my first, the first thing that I really remember writing and really enjoying. And
yeah,
after
that is creative. I don't know what is.
And then, and you're right, a lot of teenagers write, I mean, it's really a huge, you know, teenage angst thing that you write poetry. I knew a ton of people who did it. And I just, for, you know, it's a way of expressing yourself and getting out your emotions and that sort of thing. And so, but I just, you know, like I said, I also, when I was doing that, I also knew that I wanted to write a book. I knew that there would come a point when that's what I really wanted to do more than anything. It just takes discipline to sit down and do it. And to, you know, keep going, because it does take a while. And so, you know, that's what I had to finally get, was, you know, that I really wanted to finish one, not just start it. So
what's the structure? How do you talked about you're trying to finish it now and to have an ending. And it's like, I can understand you almost don't want it to end. But when you first sit down to write, how do you go about it? What's the structure? How do you decide what it's about, or starting or ending?
I tried a bunch of different things. I tried to do an outline. It didn't really go very well, because for me, the story, I knew the beginnings of it, and I knew where I ultimately wanted it to end. There were a lot of things in the middle that I didn't know. Keeping up with characters, one of the hardest things about writing a book, and I guess most people don't think about this, naming characters is very difficult, because you want to you know that the name is going to be repeated over and over, and that people are going to read it, and they're going to, you know, when you read a book, you sort of have a picture of that character. And so the names to me, I'm an avid reader, and the names to me are pretty important. And so that was more difficult, and I actually found myself using certain names of people, maybe people that I'd known or people that I'd met, just first names. And the character's nothing like them, or it doesn't have anything to do with them. It was just I liked the name, or I thought the name fit the character. Things like that you really don't think about. And then another thing is just, you know, like I said, I tried to do the outline, and it was just really difficult. And so I just kept going. I mean, I got to a point where I didn't write for like 2 months, because I just didn't know what to write. And then one day I sat down, and it just, boom. And I just kept going and going and going, and picked back up where I left off. And as someone who has an English background, I edit my own work. Like Lolly always tells me that I'm so easy to edit, because I always go back and edit and edit and edit over and over. And so I've rewritten everything 2 or 3 times just to make sure that I get it exactly the way I want it.
The right grammar and everything as well, spelling.
Oh, yeah, spelling, grammar, just sentence structure, certain words. I mean, I was just going back over chapter 29, and I changed, like, you know, just certain, nothing that the average reader would probably even notice, but something that caught my eye. So it's kind of, I mean, it's more than, I guess you think, you know, you just sit down and get it all out. But really, there's a lot more that goes into it that you don't think about when you first start. And that's been the interesting thing to me. I don't have a title. That's the hardest. That is the most difficult thing for me.
Do publishers help with that at any time? I mean,
actually, my publisher has a software where you can, you know, I gave her like 5 or 6 possible titles, and she can plug it into the software, and the software tells you, you know, what's going to be most appealing to a typical reader. And so that's really cool, but the titles that I came up with in the beginning, I'm now not so, you know, as the book has evolved, I'm not really on board with them as much. So I have some more. So I'm going to have her run those and see what she thinks. But and then even things like art, cover artwork, I mean, they'll do it for you if you want them to. But as a writer and as somebody who's in the creative process, you kind of want to have a hand in that. So, and I'm fortunate enough to have a publisher who says, what's your idea? You know, what do you want to do? And so for me, that's something that, one of those things you don't think about when you're writing a book, but then you have to get into it and kind of figure it out.
And that whole book represents you, so that's your baby. You want to have, you know, a hand in everything about it. And when it's on a bookshelf, you know, and it has your name on it, you want to be proud of everything, you know, that is within that book, whether it be the title, the artwork,
you know, the dedication,
the content, everything.
Yeah, the dedication, the acknowledgments, the letter from the author. I mean, everything. It's just, there's a lot more to it than you really think about when you first sit down and say, oh, this will be fun. And it is fun. It's just there's, you know, it's a bigger process than you realize at first.
Talking to you in the last 2 minutes, you've mentioned so much more than I ever thought about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I dedicated, I dedicated my conglomeration to my 2 grandmothers because they were both so instrumental in my life and in my growing up. And so my mother, who was recently diagnosed with cancer, she said, you've got to hurry up and finish this book because I don't want it to be in memory of me. I want it to be a dedication. And I said, well, you haven't read the whole thing yet. I don't know if you want your name in there. It's a dedication. There's some spicy parts in there. You might not, you know, want your name connected to. But so that is something that, you know, you end up really taking a look at when, you know, when you sit down and you realize, like you said, it's going to be in print. People are going to see that and your name is on that. And you think about all sorts of people and how they're going to react. You think about your family, you think about your friends, you think about ex-friends, you think about acquaintances. And I mean, there's so many people you realize they're going to see it. And, you know, you do think about their reactions.
Of course. But I'm sure you're so proud. I mean, to have this first book out, know that, you know, the next one is right around the corner. It has to be just such a great feeling for you.
Oh, it is. It really is. It's so exciting to be sort of embarking on a new chapter and realizing that I'm embarking on a new chapter that I've wanted for so long. And to finally be at that point, it's really nice. And it's very exciting. And also, I guess I just feel like I accomplished so much at a younger age that it makes me feel really good to know that I can still do things and that, you know, you can never give up on your dreams. You just keep going and going and make things happen. And ultimately, no one can make those things happen but you, you know. So it's kind of empowering, I guess, in a way, to realize that you're responsible for your own destiny as long as you, you know, hold firm to what you want and have faith that it can happen.
Now, what a great story.
You mentioned that this first book could be a series. Does that help you finish it, knowing that if there's more in you that you can do?
Oh, the novel. The thing it inspires me, and I almost feel like I'm trying to. I get frustrated because I'm like, okay, I know where I want this to end, so I'm just ready to hurry up and get there. But I have to fill in the blanks. I can't just all of a sudden jump, you know, because I, like I said, I'm an avid reader, and I hate it when a book does that. So I want to fill in the blanks. I don't want to leave the reader with questions that should be answered in the first book. I want to get those out and leave the readers with questions that have to be answered in the second book. And so I know exactly how I'm starting the second book. I know exactly how I'm ending the first book. You learn more about the male character in the second book, and it's really sort of a shocking situation, and it happens early. And I know all of this already, so I'm just trying to get there. You know, it's kind of hard
when
you know what you want to write down, but you can't. It's like some of my favorite authors, Carl Hyacin's one of my favorite authors, and he can't write fast enough for me. I mean, I pre-order all of his books. Like, he just cannot write fast enough for me. And so I feel like I can't write fast enough for myself in this situation because I want to get to number two because I already know what I want to happen. So that's a little bit frustrating.
Right. Now, do you let Don read the whole thing so that he can say, well, hey, Amy, you didn't I have a question about this character. I mean, other people, if you might be able to give you a good feedback as far as that goes.
He's not one of mine. I do have a couple of people. He, in his business, he reads a lot, and everything that he reads is nonfiction. It's all work related. It's really boring stuff, and he's never been a big fiction person. So I have a couple of people, just a few, who I trust and who are really familiar sort of with the genre that I'm working with. One of my coworkers is an avid reader, and I let her read probably my first five chapters when I first finished those. And she goes, oh, my God, I love him. And she goes, I don't really like her. And I said, okay. So I went back and I reread it. And I was like, okay, I see that she's not very likable. I'm going to change some things about her. And so her name's Tammy, and she has really been just a godsend to me because she always goes through and gives me pointers. And I have a couple of people who are avid readers, and I trust their opinions, and I know that, you know, they're being honest with me, because that's what I told her from the beginning. I said, do not try to make me feel good. I want your honest opinion. You read constantly. You know what I'm trying to do here, and I want you to tell me exactly what you think. And so I really appreciate those honest opinions. But as far as Don goes, he will never read it. He will never read the novel. He will never read the second one. He will never read it.
Well, maybe when the movie comes out, he'll watch that. Do you ever think about that, or is it pure, I just want to write a novel? If something comes from it, fine. You don't write.
Oh, I think it'd be awesome. My publisher has some experience in that with some of her authors, so she has mentioned it to me, and I said, you know, that would be awesome. And if that were the case, he would have no choice, because on Valentine's Day, I drugged his butt to see 50 Shades of Grey. Then he was like, there were only three men in the whole theater, and he was one of them. So if it ever does get to a movie status, he will have no choice but to watch. But you know what? Even if it does get to movie status and he watches it at the end of the movie, he will still look at me and say, that's about me.
Of course. Of course.
He will.
Say,
but, you know, that would be fun. I haven't really thought. Usually like I said, I read so much. And usually when I read a book and I picture a character, I usually picture an actor or an actress or someone I know, because I like to have a face go with the character. And that is something in my own writing that I haven't really done. And I think that's kind of interesting, because when I read a book, I always do that. But I really haven't pictured actual people or, you know, put a face with the name of the characters.
Imagine what,
I want to,
like, movie stars might portray each character. You know?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Imagine what movie stars might play each character.
Well, see, that's what I do when I read a book. And, of course, then if it becomes a movie, I always get disappointed. But yeah. I usually do that when I read books. And so I just assumed when I started writing this that I would have people in mind or, you know, just a face to go with that. And I don't. I mean, actually, I do. I do. I take that back. I have my main character, Gabrielle or Gabby, her best friend, Danielle. The way that I describe her in the book and the way that I picture her is that she looks like a Jenna Dwayne Tatum. That's the only one that I can see. And I do picture her as that type. Like the real pretty brunette,
only one, huh?
You know.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, you would think the main male character and the main female character being such big roles, you know, I would have an idea. And I do describe them in the book very well, but
I wanted to interject here. We do have a couple of people that are listening to the broadcast on their telephones, but I just wanted to offer that if you do want to join us on the air, push one on your phone, and that will indicate to us that you want to join us. Otherwise, we'll assume you're just listening. So, again, push one if you want to come up on the air and ask some questions. And there we go. I don't know who that is, Terry, but...
That was great.
Do you want to go ahead and screen?
Okay.
But, no, I did. There are several... I talk about the main male character's hair in the book a lot, and I guess to an extent, I think there's one point where I do describe his hair as being coiffed almost regally like JFK Jr. So I guess that could be something that, of course, I don't know who could ever play that in a movie, but I guess that could be something that could be sort of a point of reference, you know?
Interesting. That would be so cool to see your book actually go into, like, a Lifetime movie. And then,
oh, my gosh, that would just be, especially Lifetime for me, because I'm such a huge Lifetime junkie. That would just be, like, the end-all be-all
for
me.
That's why I said that.
Yes, my mom
too.
And I both would just be ecstatic because we both love them so much. But, you know, it's so surreal, and it's almost like, I guess I told my husband the other day, I said, writing a book is sort of like reading a book. You get really involved, and so you get to a point, and I'll be sitting there on my laptop, and I know that I have things to do, or I have, you know, a deadline somewhere I have to be or something, and I don't want to quit. It's like when you don't want to put a book down. Because you're in the middle of it, and you're all excited to see what happens next. It's sort of the same way when you're writing.
Oh, I can imagine. And you
get so involved with the characters.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. It's got to be so exciting.
I actually, I got about 20 chapters in, and I changed my villain
completely.
Really? And I called my mom, and I said, I'm changing it. And she said, wait, it's not going to be this one? And I was like, no, listen, this is why. And I explained it to her, and she said, oh, yeah, that's even better. I said, it's even more difficult to figure out, too. So it leaves the reader with, you know, more questions, and it's just overall a better plot line. But I did. I got pretty far into it when I decided to completely change the villain and the reason that person is the villain. And so that's what I'm more excited about now with going into the second book is having that come out, because that won't come out in the first book.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Wow, this is really getting exciting, Amy. I can't wait to read this novel now. I'm excited to read your poetry.
Cherry and Amy, yes. I apologize. I have been off the air talking to some of the people on our switchboard, and that first caller, Cherry, she says she's also a friend of the family, so maybe want to bring her up.
Okay, sure. Let's do this. We have a caller coming up on the air. Hi, Debbie. Thank you for calling into the Red Reality Show. You're on with Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Miss Amy.
Yes. I am so excited for you.
Oh,
I can't wait to read the racy parts of your novel. And I think your mother would just get a big kind of hoot out of it if you dedicated that part to her.
Oh, my gosh. I know that's the most embarrassing thing when you write a novel and you have, and it's like, you know, a juicy novel, basically, is that you know that your parents are going to be reading it. I told my dad in the beginning that he's not allowed to read it, but I know that he probably will.
Well, you know,
and,
your
because
mother
he's such
and I,
an
yeah.
avid reader. And Mama, she just can't wait to read it. So.
Oh, me either. I'm so excited for you and so very proud.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Aww.
I'm excited. This is fun. It's something that, you know, I've always wanted to do. So it's amazing.
And now
actually.
Ashley is your biggest fan. She can't wait to read it either.
Oh,
so we're
I
all
know.
Excited.
And she
we're
has
all
been since she was
one.
Tiny. I want her to read Conglomeration because that's something
yeah.
that she's really going to get. Like, she will really
yeah.
get all of that poetry. She'll really understand it and relate to it.
Well, good. And I just wanted to call in and tell you we love you and we're very happy for you, Miss Amy.
Oh, well, I love you too. And tell Ashley that I love her. Thank you.
Uh-huh, baby.
Hey,
bye.
Hey, Debbie, hang on the line with us. I don't know exactly how Cherry had planned to give away this book or not, but for those that joined us late, why don't you, Cherry, tell them that we have a giveaway.
Yeah, we are going to be giving away one of the books that Amy just wrote called Conglomeration. So we're going to be doing that in just a moment. I'm going to bring up one more caller, and then we're going to clear the phone lines and give away one of Amy's books. So I wanted to let you know that. Are you from the area where Amy grew up?
Oh, yes.
Miss Debbie went to high school and junior high school with my mother.
Yes.
Oh, how sweet. That's so great. It's so awesome.
Yes,
I've known
her since I
was born. Tonight. Oh, my goodness. That is so great that you called in tonight. Well,
yeah,
if you don't mind holding on.
Together.
Oh, that's so precious. If you don't mind staying on with us for just a moment, I'm going to bring up one more caller, and then we're going to, if you would like to be part of it and take a chance on winning one of her books, we're going to clear the phone line in just a moment. And
okay.
If you want to take a chance on calling back in and winning one of the books, we'd love for you to do that.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Okay, well, let me take one more caller, and then we're going to do that, okay?
Oh,
okay,
I
hold
love
on
you,
with
Miss
us.
Debbie.
Hold on with us. And we have Leah on the switchboard with us now. Leah, thank you so much for calling in tonight. You're on with Amy.
Oh, hello. Hi, Amy.
Hey,
how are you? I love you on BB3, so
oh,
yeah, I'm very excited to hear that you have a book coming out, and I love to read, so I'm looking very forward to getting a copy and hearing all about it.
Oh, thank you. Well, like I said, the first one's poetry, so it's not as long, but now the second one, I'm already at 300 pages, so the first novel that's going to be that'll be a good read for you because it's definitely going to be long and it's not going to finish at one. So you'll have some reading to do on that one.
Oh, I'll be waiting for it. I just followed you on Twitter, so I'm going to be on the lookout.
Thank you. There has been a lot of confusion about my Twitter situation. I used to be Queen Amy13 at Twitter, and then I said some not so nice political statements, and apparently freedom of speech is really not what it used to be. So I got logged out of my Twitter account. So now my actual real Twitter account is 1QueenAmy13. So that one is me.
but I've had a lot of people question it. So I'm just, you know, throwing it out there that it is one.
Yeah, thank you. Let me know. Well, that's all I wanted to say, and, you know, I look forward to your book.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy it. It has a lot of twists and turns.
That's
so I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Thank you so much. And Leah, we're about to clear the phone lines, and we're going to give away one of Leah's books, Conglomeration, or Book of Poetry. So I hope you'll call back in and try for that. And Debbie, we're going to do that right now.
Definitely. Okay. When do we call back in?
In just a moment. I'm going to announce on air in about 2 minutes. That everybody should call back in.
Okay,
and,
cool. Yeah, definitely. I want the book.
I'm gonna go off air, and I'm gonna have Amy pick a number, and then.
Okay. That sounds like fun. Yeah, definitely.
We're gonna have whoever calls back in and is that number on our switchboard will win the book. So. We're going to let Amy pick the number, and if you're that caller, then you're going to win her book. So,
what if you're in
the phone line?
My number's unlisted, though. Will I still be eligible?
Pardon me?
I said my number's unlisted, so how would that work?
No, I'm just saying you would have to be my caller number 3.
Oh, okay. All righty.
So, I'm going to have Amy... pick a number, whatever her number might be. I just threw 3 out there just as a example. But Amy's going to choose a number. And if you're that number on our switchboard, then you're going to win her book. So
okay,
let's clear the phone lines of all our callers. And
alrighty.
Then everybody can call back in just a moment. And if you're the number that Amy chose, then you're going to win the book.
Okay, great. I'll talk to you later. All right,
thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. I love you guys. Bye, hon. Love you, too. Okay, I'm going to go off the air for just a moment and have Amy choose a number, and I'll be right back.
I'm going to hang up these other numbers, and so you know that we're not
clear
being rude.
Lines.
We're hanging you up so that you can call back in, and so go ahead, Cherry, go off the air and talk to Amy. Anyway, guys, like I said, I'm going to hang you guys up because we're not talking about anything right now, and you just call back in, and we'll have Cherry and Amy back on the air shortly. I can't believe it's taking them this long to come up with a number. There you are. You're back.
Yes, we are ready to go. So everybody that wants to win Amy's book, please dial back in. And one lucky winner will get Amy's new book, Conglomeration, A Book of Poetry.
And I do want to say that Conglomeration is in a hardback format, and the artwork on the front of the book was done by my husband, and the 5 keys represent the 5 years that I wrote the book, and it makes for great gifts, it makes for great housewarming presents, it's a great coffee table book, it's just sort of it's something that you can set out, it's really pretty. So it's not just something you can put in a bookshelf. So I wanted that because I have a lot of books like that myself. I buy a lot of books like that. So I thought that would kind of be, for this particular book, you know, being a book of poetry, I thought that it would be nice to have something like that that could be, you know, also something that could be aesthetically pleasing as well as just a book.
It would be.
I just want to say for those listening, I have no idea what. Okay, now I do. Okay, so we we need people to call in to find
out.
If you
want to win Amy's book, Colin, and...
And the number for those that might not have it is 347-237-5506. People that were on there figured that they weren't the number, and so now they're hanging up and probably trying to call back.
And for those of you who have already promised a copy, you can call in and win one. I have in my dedication, I mentioned four teachers specifically. And so I did send them emails last week to get their mailing addresses. And I said, I want you all to have, And I didn't tell them specifically that I mentioned them in the acknowledgments. I just said, be sure to read the acknowledgments. But I think as a teacher, and I have a lot of friends who are teachers, so I think as a teacher that would be kind of, especially most of them are English teachers, so I think it's kind of, would be nice to be an English teacher and have somebody write a book and mention you, you know, in there, so...
You're not going to believe this,
but
guess who our lucky winner is?
We didn't
plan this, folks. This is the way it honestly worked out. Amy chose the number. Our lucky number. You want to tell them what your number was, Amy?
My number was 5.
And here is our 5th caller on the switchboard. Lucky number 5th caller, what is your name?
Is it me?
You're on the air, yes it is.
Oh my God. Oh,
that is so awesome. Yes, you win. You won.
Yes. Yay.
Debbie, we'll call you Aunt Debbie.
Oh, gosh, that is amazing. I was thinking that. That is so funny.
We couldn't have planned that.
Yes.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, congratulations. There you go.
I'm just so excited. Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I'm glad we kept you on the phone line and told you we were giving away a book.
Me too.
Oh, that's so glad you called back in.
Yes, I was trying because I think, you know, because old people, you know how we are trying to figure out stuff. But I did. Oh, thank you.
That is awesome. Yay. Okay, I'm so excited.
Your mother's going to die.
Oh, yes, she is, definitely. Yes, she is.
Listen,
I wonder if she's listening. She'll be so excited.
She is, and your daddy, too, because they're the ones that gave me the link.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, that's awesome. Well, congrats. I'm so happy. I'm glad you won. That is amazing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Some things are just meant to be.
Are you going to autograph it? That's what I want to know.
Yes, I will. You won't get it autographed, but I will autograph it for you. You know
that. Well, I plan to come down there this summer anyway, so you will see me.
Exactly. And I think I've autographed her play program so many times. But, yes, definitely.
Yes. Well, good.
Oh,
Anthony, I'm so glad that you called back in and won the book for
me
today. That was just
Debbie,
great timing, and
yep.
It couldn't have worked out better.
Yeah, it like Cherry says, it seems like it was meant to be. But Debbie,
well,
when
yeah,
I first,
some things are.
Debbie, when I first screened you, I asked you if you were a Big Brother fan, and you said yes, but I'm also a friend of the family. But I'm curious, did you first watch Big Brother season 3, or were you watching before then?
I was watching before, but I wasn't a nighttime watcher. When Amy got on, her mother and I would get together and watch her all night long.
Y'all were watching the live thing.
I watched her get inebriated and climb into a tree. That was so funny.
Debbie, are you on Twitter?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet. you know. But I'm on Facebook. I do Facebook, but I don't do the Twitter now.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly glad that you called back in and won this book. That just made my day.
Oh,
it's so
me
awesome
too.
When somebody that's so close to the family calls in
that is
and
so, that, that's
talks
so cool.
to one of our guests and then actually calls back in and wins the book. That couldn't have been planned any better.
Couldn't have. And I would have sent her a copy anyway, so I just think that's so, when I said that a minute ago, I was like, and if I promised you a copy, go ahead and call in. You could still win one. And that's how I meant that, because I would have sent her a copy anyway. But I'm so glad. That's so neat.
Yes. It's just, you know, God is good. That's all I can say.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I agree 100%.
So, Debbie, having watched Big Brother from the beginning, how do you feel about the modern day version of Big Brother as opposed to the old school?
I really like the old school, but then that's just me because that's where I really got into Big Brother. But you know, everything's
changed. I agree with you. And Amy, I hear you're going to be doing the premiere party down there with Evil Dick.
I am. I'm going to the premiere party. Victory Cruise Lines is hosting it. It's a gambling cruise out of Cape Canaveral, and I'm going to be there with Evil Dick. I believe Janelle and Amanda will be there also. And I've never met Amanda, so I actually look forward to meeting her because she's just so herself.
That's going to be a blast.
And you know, you got to know, Amy, that my all-time fave is Sweet Janelle. She's a Minnesota girl, too, so.
Well, you know, people have been really in an uproar on Twitter because I said some stuff the other day about not all house guests, former house guests, are nice. And it was nothing to do with Janelle at all. But a lot of people assumed that. And it kind of upset me because I was like, I've met Janelle a couple of times and, you know, best. I mean, I know I said some nasty stuff a long time ago in one interview, but that was kind of egged on, and it was, you know, it was to make it look good. And honestly, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Janelle and I, we don't have any issues at all. And I mean, she's a mother and a wife, and, you know, she's like a great person. And when I've been around her, she was just sweet as she could be. So it just sort of amazed me that immediately the fans just jumped on the Twitter and started attacking me.
First of all, I understand it because I've seen it happen so many times. But when you don't lump them all as fans, whoever started that it may not be a fan, but just a crapster, you know. And
that's true.
I mean, I was desperately, that's a little large, but I was looking around. I wanted to watch some of season 3. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet, but as I was doing my searches, I came across an old posting on one of the blogs one of the forums. And it was talking about you having split up with Don and all that. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Which never happened.
I know. And it was funny because all of a sudden you come down and there's your father be on there saying that's not true. And then Danielle was on there. I just talked to her a few minutes ago. And so people start rumors just for kicks sometimes, I think, just to see what can happen.
And Danielle actually defended me last week over that situation. She replied to the person on Twitter, and she said, listen, you don't know the backstory. You don't know anything about this. This doesn't even – Janelle has nothing to do with this. She's at home with her kids. She's not even worried about this. This has nothing to do with her. And it was just – actually, it was just a misunderstanding. It wasn't even a big deal, and it was not – it was a more recent house guest. But it was just, you know, people who watch the show who are diehard fans of one particular house guest, they just are so quick to jump on other people without having any knowledge of what's going on.
100%.
And that was kind of the situation. But, yeah, I had Danielle, you know, Danielle was really quick to jump on there and defend me. I love her.
So I assume you talk to her frequently. When's the last time you actually saw her in person. It's been quite a while because, I mean, she's all the way in California, right?
I haven't seen her in a couple years, but we talk on a regular basis. We text a lot, and then we talked, I guess, a couple of weeks ago after my mom got her diagnosis. Danielle called because she knew that she was having some tests ran and that she was having surgery, so she called to, you know, check on her. And so I talked to her then. I talked to her and keep in touch with Marcellus. Keep in touch with Josh. I keep in touch with a lot of people. Lisa, you know, she's had a rough year. And she kind of keep up with her over Facebook. So I do keep up with a lot of people, not only from my season, but from other seasons. It's so funny how we kind of say that it's like cult life. Once you've lived in that house, you're kind of like a part of something, even if you don't really know each other. Like, I met Andy last summer, and we just clicked, and I met McCray, and we were sort of instant buddies, you know, and it happens. You meet people from different seasons, and you're like, oh, my God, I loved you on your season, and I loved you on your season, and so you make instant friends.
Absolutely. No, I love hearing that. I love that you're still kind of trying to keep in touch with people. I had a curious question, and I'm surprised I never saw it when I was doing my Googling, but I was looking at the cast list from your season, and I noticed Eric's last name, and then I thought, wait a minute. Is that who she married? I mean, how odd.
People have asked me that, and it has been, you know, of course, on the internet, people have speculated about that. No, I'm not married to Eric. However, his birthday is my wedding anniversary, and we figure that we're probably somehow related, but because he's from Connecticut and my husband's family is from Maine, and we figured, you know, there's probably some distant relation there. But at the same time, I believe in French, the last name Ouellette is about as common as, you know, Smith. So
that may or may not be,
but
no, that's what it did not seem like a Smith name to me, but if it is that common, but it was just like, wait a minute, is Don like related to Eric in some way, you know? That's what I was wondering.
He might be. We think that's a possibility, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, you've been watching subsequent seasons of Big Brother U.S. Have you gotten into or watched any of the Canadian version?
I haven't watched Big Brother Canada. However, I did meet Lisa Stenton last year and just loved her. And so even though I haven't watched Big Brother Canada, she's my favorite Big Brother from Big Brother Canada, just because she's so much fun. And it was so funny. She met Danielle before she met me, and Danielle said, oh, my God, you've got to meet Amy. Y'all are just going to have a blast. And so then when we met, she was like, Danielle told me I had to meet you. And I was like, oh, my God. And we just, it was another instant friend thing. So, but I haven't been watching this season. I see a lot about it on Twitter.
Right.
But I just haven't. But it's so funny. The Big Brother U.S. people have talked about it. We usually only have to deal with the hardcore hate during the summer when Big Brother's on. But now that Big Brother Canada's on, they start early because they start on us even when they're watching Big Brother Canada. So I guess because everybody's so active on Twitter and Facebook. And so you do get those, you know, hardcore fans of one person who hates somebody else. Yeah. And so, you know, they kind of come out earlier than usual. So that's something that we've noticed with Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. But one of the other cool things is the Canadians, a lot of them have been fans for the U.S. version for years.
Forever.
And they know all about it, and, you know, they were always very active, you know.
Always a huge, huge Canadian fan base.
And,
we knew that even on season three, there was a massive Canadian fan base.
And now you watch some of the feeds in the house, the Canadian feeds, and they're sitting there talking about Evil Dick. They're sitting there talking about McLean Spencer having a show. They have a show called The Sideshow. It's kind of it's the day after their eviction. And live studio audience, and they bring in past Big Brother guests, both Canadian and U.S. And about a week and a half ago, Donnie Thompson came on, and they actually turned on the camera so that the house guests could watch on stage and see Donnie. And those house guests, I thought, were going to shit in their pants when they saw him on the screen. They were so excited. So it's really a cool...
I'm going to be meeting him in August, and I have not met him yet, but Danielle did, and she absolutely loved him, and I loved him on the show, so I do look forward to meeting him. He's definitely going to be one of those people that I'm a little starstruck, because that happens. You know, you watch a whole season, and then you meet somebody, and you're like, oh, my God, I loved you. So that he's definitely going to be one of those.
In August, is that at Give Kids a World?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm also going to be auctioning off a couple of autographed copies of Conglomeration for Give Kids the World. And that'll happen probably next month sometime. So I'm going to be doing that because it's just such an amazing cause. I mean, there's just, once you get involved in that and you actually go to the village and you meet with the kids and you know, it's just, it steals your heart, and it's
my
husband
last and I
year,
are
we raised a lot of money.
Year.
So,
are you
gonna try to
still
make that event
about
this
it,
year
Sherry?
For the first time? Yes, we're gonna try to make it this year for the first time.
Oh, really?
So hopefully, I'll be able to meet you for the first time.
Absolutely,
so
Dawn and I will
it.
Be there. We this will be our third year, and it's just I actually have a friend who won. Cutthroat Kitchen, and she's not going to be able to be there, but she's donating some of her items. So it's just every little thing that any of us can do, we all try to do just to help because it's such an amazing cause, and it really is. It's amazing, and once you get involved in it, it's something that you really want to keep working toward and being involved in.
So
I can't wait.
I have to share this with you, and it's just a coincidence type of thing, but I was in the Army from 72 to 75, and at one point was based at Fort Rucker, which is near Dothan, Alabama, and we would when we would get a break on the weekend, our destination was always PC. And,
oh,
you know,
of course.
I don't know if they still call it PC, but Panama City, Florida.
Oh, I know. My mom actually was in college in Dothan, and right before you were in the Army there, and that was their weekend destination too, because it was, 80 miles or something? It didn't take you very long to get there.
Absolutely.
I lived in Port St. Joe, which is about an hour east of Panama City, for 5 years. And it's so funny because Panama City has really – turned into just T-shirt shops and tattoo parlors and a spring break destination. But I think it always was, you know, more of a younger crowd destination.
Sure.
But, yeah, it still is. I mean, you know, being the closest beach to that part of Alabama and Destin and Seaside in that area, Rosemary Beach being a little bit more expensive, everybody heads to Panama City Beach.
Absolutely. So you you brought up Cutthroat Kitchen, that you know somebody on that. Do you watch other reality shows?
I do. You know what? Last year at the Give Kids the World event, the most starstruck for me was when I met E.J. Snyder from Naked and Afraid, because I've watched that religiously, and he's been on there twice. So my husband and I, because we both watch it, and my husband doesn't watch reality television very often unless it's like something on HGTV or Discovery or something. And so, but we do watch Naked and Afraid. So when we met E.J. Snyder, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And Dawn was like, oh, yeah, I remember him. And it was just, that was probably my most starstruck moment, because I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch The Bachelorette. I have a lot of friends who've been on Survivor, but I've just never been a huge, I guess it's just so time consuming, and I always spend my summers doing Big Brother and watching every episode of that and being hooked, that, you know, my reality shows, I kind of pick and choose because you know how you get so hooked in. So I have to make sure that I, you know, kind of allocate my time, I guess. And the Naked and Afraid is one that I love and I watch. And then I used to watch Chopped a lot, but my friend Jen is a chef and she was on Cutthroat Kitchen and she won. And she since signed contracts with Walmart and Kroger and she's doing really well. So I reached out to her to donate some items to, you know, have for the Give Kids the World event, and she was more than happy to do it. So,
well, I can't believe Cherry, I don't know if she knows she's muted or not, but you just talked about meeting Skull Crusher. Cherry, are you there?
I'm back.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I'm really looking forward to going to that event. My husband and I both are. It's one of the events that I have not been to in the reality world. We've been to many of the others back when they were doing the Vegas event. We've been to Toys for Tots up in New Hampshire a number of years. But we have not been to Give Kids the World, and it's one of the ones that we've certainly wanted to attend, and I look so forward to going to it.
It's really a great event. It's very well done. Mike, who is the chairman, just does an outstanding job. He goes above and beyond, and it's just, it's a stellar event. I've been to some others, but it's been many years since I've been to some others, but this is by far the favorite that I've been to as far as a strictly reality event, because it's just everyone has a chance to really mingle with everyone else. And so, you know, you're not really cut off from anybody. Everybody just, you know, you have times, just different time periods where everybody's just hanging out together and talking and getting to know each other. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's a great event.
I've heard wonderful, wonderful things about it, you know, and when you see what it does for the kids, the charity is for such a wonderful cause. They have such a great place down there, and what
it's
they
amazing.
Do for the children is incredible. To give them,
it is.
You know, the entire family a week, you know, and they make such a big deal for the child who has, you know, whatever
the Christmas parade
is going on.
And Halloween. They have all of these different, you know, festivities for all of the kids so that they can enjoy everything. And, you know, my husband's family, we have a family foundation, and I said, you know, even years down the road, even if the event no longer exists, I'm still, that is what I want to donate my money to, because that is the charity that I feel so, you know, so close to my heart. When I lived in Memphis, I did a lot of stuff for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And, you know, a lot of Make-A-Wish kids stay at the Village. So it's just they work with so many different charities to provide all of this for the families. And it's just an amazing, it really is just a wonderful, wonderful charity.
And I've heard that, like, if, let's say the child that's sick, his name is Danny, when the car arrives, it's, you know, a limo, Danny's limo has arrived, and, like, they have Danny's name on the door, and, you know, it's Danny's everything for the entire week. And, you know, it's just, everything is designed around Danny. And to me, I mean, making it, his entire family is there. If he has siblings, they're there, they're invited. His mom and dad is invited, you know, the entire family's there. But the whole week is about Danny, you know, it's about him. And
it is. And they make, you know, they make all, especially if they have siblings that are similar, they make everybody feel special, but it is his week, you know, and he's treated like royalty. And I think one of the coolest things is that they have the ice cream shop that's open,
yes.
And it's open pretty much any time that kids are awake. And they can go in there and get whatever ice cream they want whenever they want it. And it's just stuff like that that really makes it, you know, they just get to do basically, you know, just kind of have at it and enjoy themselves and do what they want to do and not have to worry about stresses or, you know, anything from the outside world. They just get to go in and enjoy themselves. And it's,
and they're
it's
close
really
enough to go
amazing.
To Disney and Busch Gardens and all that. For,
yes.
But for those who are
Universal,
not healthy
anything
enough to go
like
there,
that,
they,
they're,
yeah.
But then at
they
night
have
when
rides
they come back
right there.
To the village, they do, I know one night a week, they do like a Christmas parade with Santa Claus and fake snow. And so that they can, you know, just enjoy it and experience it. And sometimes they'll do like a Halloween, you know, there's just different stuff that's every night of the week. There's a different activity so that they get to have fun even when they're not at the parks or wherever they go in Orlando. When they're at the village, they get to have fun. And they have, you know, little water park for them and all of that, which they get to enjoy also.
Don't they have, like, rides there at their location, too, though, for those who aren't quite healthy enough to go to, like, Disney or something?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They have things there also.
Yeah, so, I mean, they just thought of everything.
And they keep adding to it. That's the thing. As long as, you know, as long as we keep raising money, and they do so many fundraisers throughout the year, and as long as people keep donating, they can do more. And the people who work there are all volunteers, and they volunteer their time, and they do keep getting to add on and add different things, and so that all of the kids can enjoy it. Regardless of, you know, if they stay there the whole time or if they go somewhere else during the day.
That's so amazing. I mean, for someone with a sick child, there just can't be anything better, you know.
Well, and that's what
that
the parents that you talk to, they all say that. They all say this is just, we couldn't ask for anything better. This is amazing.
That just warms your heart. So I look forward to, you know, to being at that event for the first time and meeting you and your husband and all the other reality stars that go there and just experiencing it for the first time.
It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. You really will.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll see how you couldn't. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And it's so much fun for such a good cause that, you know, it all just ties in so well.
I certainly am excited to make it my first time there, and hopefully it won't be the last. It's a little bit difficult for me to travel, but hopefully I can make it, you know, in the future. I'd love to say I'll be there more than this year, but it's kind of a day at a time for me, but
absolutely.
I love that, you know, I'm going to make it this year and really am looking forward to it. I just think it's one of the best charities. That and the one in Temecula that Jillian Larson does, I think is the two.
I've heard wonderful, wonderful things about that. And it always falls in a time of year where I've got so much going on that I've never been able to attend. But I know Danielle attends and Liza attends, and they just love it. So
yeah.
I've heard really wonderful things about that also.
Yeah. I felt so bad for you the other day when you were at the wedding. I was laughing because you were wanting to watch the Kentucky Derby.
No, I did. It really is embarrassing to a point, but I was on the second row with my phone in my hand, and I'm watching the race as the bride and groom are saying their vows. It was terrible, but I did.
You didn't shout out or go.
I didn't because I did not have bets on number 10, and so I was sitting there going no, because I had the number 1 and the number 3, so I didn't want number 10. I wanted number 10 to fall back, and he didn't. And so I just sit there and watch. I'm like, no, no. And they're saying their vows, and my husband's watching because I've got it, like, held down by my waist, and we're both watching. And then we realized that our long shot wasn't going to come in, so I just shut off my phone. I was like, all right, we'll watch the wedding.
I felt so bad.
But it was like
one
of those
cell phone
commercials.
Who has the wedding during the Kentucky Derby? You know,
yeah, it was like one of those cell phone
commercials. Didn't they realize their wedding was
going to
be during the
really
Kentucky
won,
Derby?
We probably would have screamed. If our long shot had come in, we probably would have, like, screamed out in the middle of the ceremony. So it's probably best that we didn't win.
Well, that would have been like a 50-1 shot, wouldn't it?
He ended up, I think, being at 48.
48-1? Wow.
Yeah. And that's one of the reality shows that I used to love. It only had two seasons, but I watched Jockeys. And at the time, Joe Talamo was like 19. And when I watched it, I said, he is going to be a little rock star. He is so young right now, but he will get there and he will be a rock star. And this was his first Derby start. He was supposed to start in 2009. His horse scratched. So this was his first Derby. And he was like 48-1, and I was just, he tweeted me a thank you, because I tweeted him, and I said, remember mine that bird in 2009, I'm hoping for one of those situations, because I really wanted him to win, and it would have just been one of those Cinderella stories, and the Derby makes a lot of Cinderella stories, so I was hoping for that, but, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen, but I really do think his day will come.
You know, I've never been to a Kentucky Derby. But my husband and I went to another reality charity event in Kentucky, and we actually stayed in the hotel where the riders stay, the jockeys stay during the Kentucky Derby. And that hotel is probably the most beautiful hotel I've ever stayed in.
Marion
David Conley of The Amazing Race did a charity for autism, for children's autism.
Okay.
And we went there a couple of years in a row. And the hotel that they had everybody stay in was the hotel that the jockeys stay in for the Derby. They have all these big horse statues out front, and all the jockey names are all on plaques out in front. When you walk in, there is this, the most beautiful chandelier I've ever seen in my life. I've got pictures of it on my phone. This huge chandelier, and all the rooms are suites. They're not really rooms, they're suites. And it is just the most beautiful hotel. And we stayed there 2 years in a row, and it was just the most awesome hotel we've ever stayed in. It was gorgeous. And I was this is the jockey's life, huh?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and I have a friend whose husband is a jockey. He rode in the Derby last year. And her dad's a trainer. And I grew up in Arkansas, and we knew a lot of people who, like, I had friends and family who had horses at Oaklawn and ran in Arkansas Derby and that sort of thing. So, and my parents knew some jockeys and trainers. So I didn't really grow up around it, but I knew people who did. And so when I started watching show jockeys, I became so interested and sort of went back and, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that, I know so-and-so who's involved in this. And so it got to be, for me, just something that I really enjoyed. And so now I live so close to Gulfstream, where we have the Florida Derby. And there's something, like, just crazy, but I pick the Florida Derby winner every year without fail, like 2 weeks in advance. I can tell you who's going to win that race. And this year I was at the Florida Derby, and Todd Fletcher, who is a huge, huge trainer, one of the best in the world. It was his horse that won Materiality. And he follows me on Twitter. And right before the race, he walked by me, and I punched him in the arm so hard. And I was like, my friend that was with me, she said, he's going to have a bruise tomorrow. I said, who cares? He's going to win. And I was trying to get some of that luck, but he did. He won. And but I love the pageantry behind horse racing, and I love the beauty. It's just, to me, it's so much fun. And for some reason, I'm just really pretty good at guessing who's going to win. I just am. I don't really know. There's no really rhyme or reason behind it. I'm just pretty good at it. But I enjoy it a lot. And I go over to Gulfstream sometimes and just watch because it is such a beautiful sport.
I heard you say you grew up in Arkansas. And, Gary, how young were you when you – didn't you grow up there too?
I lived for a year in Arkansas when I was younger. I lived in Blytheville, Arkansas.
Oh, my God. My mother lived in Blytheville. My mom's best friend's stepdad was mayor of Blytheville. My farm, my family farm was not far from Blytheville.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I know Blytheville really well.
Oh, my gosh. My grandmother owned the cafeteria in Blytheville, and my dad owned a couple of taverns there.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that they know my mom's best friend's family, Betty C. Hall, used to be Betty C. Larkin. I'm sure because her dad owns the gas station and her stepdad was mayor. So I'm sure, and you know, Blytheville being such a small town, everybody knew everybody. I'm sure they knew
everybody
each other.
Knows everybody, yep. No doubt.
That is hilarious.
I grew up
like an hour from Blytheville. My grandmother used to take me up to the store. They had a, I forget which store it was, but they had a minor bird that talked. And she would take me when I was a little girl to the store so that I could talk to the bird.
Yeah, I used to go roller skating. They had a roller rink there, and I used to go roller skating when I was like 11, which is about the only thing to do when you were that age in Blytheville.
That age, my mom was in elementary school there probably about the same time.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. How
That's
funny.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
Small world.
A small, small world. I still have an aunt that lives in Searcy, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have some friends that live there, too. That's like the duck hunting capital.
Yeah, Arkansas is still not too far from me. I'm in St. Louis now. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, my parents went up in January. They went to visit. I have relatives in Dice, which is Johnny Cash's hometown. And I still have relatives in Lepanto, which isn't far from Blytheville, but they're both really, really tiny towns.
Right.
But they went up there in January, and they've been in Florida now for several years, so they came back and they said, "Ooh, it's cold. We forgot how cold it is."
You take a chance when you come up to Arkansas in January because they have a lot of ice storms there.
Exactly.
They get a lot of ice. Yeah. I've been in some wicked ice storms in Arkansas. So how's your mom doing?
She is doing well. She meets with her oncologist next week, and then she's going to start chemo. But she is so strong, and she's such a fighter. And my grandpa, her dad, when he was 78, he was diagnosed with lymphoma, and they gave him 6 months. And 6 months later, they went back and did his scans, and he had absolutely zero sign of anything. And he lived to be 93. So when my mom was diagnosed, she went through a really rough surgery because it had metastasized. They had to, it was a big surgery. So after it was over and she, wasn't feeling really well for the first day or two after surgery, I said, "Remember Papa? Remember how his attitude was like, 'I don't know why y'all are crying. This is just something I got to take care of.'" And I said, "He would whip your butt if he thought for a minute that you were not going to have that same attitude." And she said, no. She goes, "I've got this." She goes, "I'm just going to let God carry me through it. And I'm just going to need a lot of prayers. And I'm just going to be strong and I'm going to make it." And so she's doing well. She the most amazing part is that she was a cigarette junkie. I'm talking like hardcore smoker. And she came out of surgery and she hasn't had a cigarette, hasn't wanted a cigarette. She was also a Dr. Pepper junkie, hasn't had one. Actually, she did have a little bit of one and it made her sick. So she's done. So
amen.
The good to come out of it. Yeah, the good to come out of it. I was like, these are the blessings that, you know, you realize, and, you know, that you don't need that. And so she, we're just praying hard for her, and her attitude's really, really great. So she's got a lot of people pulling for her. She's got, in her community, she's got some great people and a lot of good support. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. I know we'll be keeping it in our thoughts and prayers as well. When I saw your post, I was like,
thank you.
Definitely be praying for her. And I know all of our listeners will be as well. And
oh, thank you.
It's something that,
this is, I called her this afternoon.
She was like,
can I listen? I said, yes, you can listen. I said, I'll send you the link. So hopefully she's listening. She's really excited about the book, but she's more excited about the novel. She wants me to hurry up and finish so that she can read it. So,
well, Amy, it has been such a pleasure having you back with us, babe. I just
well,
could
thank
talk
you
to you
so
forever
much.
And a
it
day.
Has been for me too.
We'll say hi to Michelle for you. She had previous commitments. She normally does Monday nights.
I know she does. I knew that she normally did Mondays.
You know, she had a Portuguese charity event that she does every year.
Oh, okay.
She had to be away for today. And I thought, well, I wonder if Miss Amy could come on and talk about her book with us today. So I hurried up and asked if you could join us. And I was so grateful that you were available to come on and tell all your fans, you know, about the book, and
it was
give one away, and now we
absolutely.
All know.
Absolutely. Well, tell her I said hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Amy, I just thought of something. Michelle went out to Temecula this past April, and of course, there's a lot of reality people out there that she, you know, talked with and asked to come, you know, on one of her shows. And I do remember her saying that at some point she's going to have Daniel Reyes come on because she talked with her out there. Maybe we should let you know and you can call in to surprise her.
Absolutely. I would love it. Yes. Just shoot me a message. I would love it. Definitely.
We'll do that. We will do that. You can call in and surprise her.
Oh, yes, I would love to. That would be fun.
All right. Well, I just thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Well,
and
thank
calling
you
us all
so
about
much, and thank everybody who's listening. And you can go to amycruz.org and order your copy of Conglomeration.
That's great. Now, it's already set up. They can order it right away. So
they
sure
can order it right away. No, I think the printing will be done at the end of the week. So it may take a couple of weeks to get there. But you can go ahead and order. You can pay by credit card, PayPal, or debit card. So you can go ahead and place your order, and then it'll ship out to you.
So repeat the address again one more time.
It is www.amycruz.org, and it will take you directly to the order form.
Awesome. Okay. And make sure you order your book, Conglomeration by Amy Cruz, today. And then,
I'll let
y'all
know when I get done with the novel. And
you'll have to come back and let us know. Yeah, you'll have to come back on and tell us a little bit more about the novel, what it's that you know the title is that you've decided upon, and we'll have a
that's going to be the hardest part, but we're hoping to have it
show
out by holiday season. So
we'll have to have you back on so to do a release show when you get that one out.
Absolutely, thank you.
Just to let you know, Debbie is still on the switchboard. If you want to say goodbye to her, Amy.
Oh, yeah, put her on real quick.
Love you, Amy.
I love you, too. Thank you so much.
And thank you. I won the bouquet.
I know. I'm so excited that you did. Well, I love you, and tell Ashley I love her, too.
I will. You take care of me, safe.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for calling in, Debbie.
Oh, I
love
it.
Thank you so much. You're welcome, hon. Amy, thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening, and we so appreciate you being with us today. All right, honey.
All right, take care. I'll call y'all soon. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Amy. Well, what a wonderful evening it's been with Amy Cruz. This has been so much fun. I know everybody wanted to win that book, but we only had one to give away. And lucky Debbie got to be the winner of that one. But hopefully Amy will come back in the fall, and maybe she'll give away one of her novel books in the fall.
Wow.
I'm so interested in finding out what that one is about. I mean, she really
we can read all about Don, because she obviously wrote about him.
It really sounded intriguing when she was talking about it.
Yeah.
So I want to remind everybody, because we are running out of time, to join us on Thursday for our Mike and the Mike show with Big Mike Albright. And we are going to have, I just went blank.
Kelly
Wentworth on this Thursday, and then back here with Michelle Costa on Monday, and Monday we're going to have Dan Ryan from Hell's Kitchen, and who else? She said somebody else.
I'm not remembering. Stay tuned. It'll be posted.
Oh, it was right on the tip of my tongue. Stay tuned. But Monday's show is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Thursday's show is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Make sure you join us for both shows. We've had a great time this evening with Amy Cruz and hearing all about her book, Conglomeration, A Book of Poetry. She is such a doll, and I could honestly talk to her all night long. Unfortunately, we are under time constraints, and we've already gone for almost 2 hours now. So we're going to call this one. Look forward to seeing you back with us on Thursday. Everyone, take care. Have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. Good night, all. Here's Ron to take us out.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It certainly was a lot of fun to talk with Amy tonight. Don't you agree, Paul?
I agree 100%. That was fun.
Well, it's a wrap for tonight. Say good night, hon.
Good night.
Good night.